Okay, so we're in chapter 31 of Numbers. Again, the Israelites are kind of on the very border of going into the promised land, and the Lord is taking care of some matters to prepare them, because once they get into the promised land, it's going to be a pretty steady battle scene that's going to be taking place. So they really need to be built up and prepared, and the Lord's going to use some of the work in this chapter here just to get some training in them as far as warfare goes. And we get some great lessons from these passages, because we're in a battle too. In the spirit-filled life, as we're letting the Lord lead and we're following in His steps, there's a battle going on. And this is a good wake-up call for us too, and some good training. So let's get a chance to jump in here. It says in Numbers 31, in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian." Then he's going to talk about the number for that. But this refers back to what happened in Numbers 25. If you want to turn back a couple pages and see that, or I'll just read that to you. In Numbers 25, verse 1, it said, "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab," and that's the Moabites here. "They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel." And that we found out from that passage there that, I remember, Balaam had been trying to bring a curse on God's people, and he couldn't do it. So he eventually told the king Balak how to let Israel bring a curse on himself. And that was, if they started hanging around with these women and worshiping other gods, they figured God's going to wipe out these own people. Well, it didn't happen. The Lord had a way of stopping that mess that was going on. But because the Midianites were used to deceive the children of Israel, and there was a lot of people that lost their lives through that incident, the Lord said, now's the time to deal with these people. Their sin has been brought to the full level, so God's going to have them go in and take care of this. Now, he said back in Numbers 31 to take vengeance on the Midianites. So here, the Lord is directing his people to take vengeance. But if you're familiar with the New Testament a little bit, in Romans 12, it says this, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So at first glance, you're thinking, okay, wait a minute. The Lord says not to avenge yourself, and now he's telling them to take vengeance. Well, what's going on in our passage here in Numbers 31 is they're taking vengeance for the Lord, and you see that at the end of verse 3. It says, "Go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian." So in the passage in Romans, the Lord isn't saying that vengeance is always bad. The problem with it is that we're not capable of showing the proper response when it comes to vengeance. It goes against our human nature and our human wisdom to be very fair and very just when it comes to vengeance. Our normal thing is, if somebody does something to us, we want to get back at them more. So that's not true vengeance. And when God takes care of things, remember, the Lord's perfect and he's complete. So when it comes to vengeance, his lesson for us is we need to love our enemies and leave the vengeance to him. And that's what the Romans 12 passage goes on to talk about, that our goal is to be kind to our enemies, to love them, and basically get out of the way and let the Lord deal with them. Okay? And you don't have to worry if you've been treated unjustly yourself. Nobody's getting away with anything. God's going to take care of things, okay? And his vengeance is always much better than ours. So you can trust him in that. So here when the Lord tells them to take vengeance, it's God taking vengeance on the Midianites, and he's simply using his people as the weapon to bring that vengeance on them. And God's vengeance, when he brings it, you see in the scriptures here, it's always very just. It's just right down the line, it's perfect and it's right. And we'll see that as we get into the study a little bit more. Now, as it mentions the Midianites, I want you to think about this from the spiritual lessons we get here. The Midianites are a picture of the world with all of its seduction. Okay, just as these women of the Moab tribe here, the Moab people, as they came in and were seducing the guys and drawing them away from the Lord and drawing them into the false gods and all the lusts and everything they were using in that seduction, we see a real picture of the world in the Midianites. And just like they tried to trip up the Israelites, the world tries to trip us up from following the Lord. Okay, the problem is, our flesh naturally wants to follow the world. That's where our flesh wants to go. But the Lord said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if anyone loves the Father, then if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in them. So the Lord makes it very clear, we can't have a love affair with the world and think we're having a great loving relationship with the Father too. So we've got a battle with our flesh when it comes to this. And we need to realize it's a real battle. The world is not our friend. And that's what's pictured here. Okay, the Lord tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And that means to kill the deeds of the flesh. We're to die daily, the Lord tells us. And that means we kill the flesh in its tracks. We don't let it get started. And the Bible tells us to make no provision for the flesh. Okay, these are all spiritual principles that come into play when we see that this battle that's taking place here. And think about this, the flesh is that dangerous. The Lord tells us, don't let it have breathing room. Don't do that, okay? Now, remember when it comes to dealing with other people, our warfare, when we talk about our own flesh, we got to fight it and we got to kill the desires of the flesh, not allow it to have its breathing room, okay? But when it comes to other people, and how our warfare is with them. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, okay? If the devil's working behind people that are coming against us, and the Lord and the devil's using those people to try to trip us up, it's not the people that are the enemy. It's the one who's using them, who's moving in them. He's the enemy, okay? And we got to make sure we keep that clear. Somebody said this, and I thought it was a good way to remember this. When that old buddy shows up, that you used to run around with before you started walking with the Lord, and he leads you back into the junk of the world, he's not your buddy, okay? He's someone the devil will use to get you away from following the Lord. So don't let your flesh fall for that one. You got to beware. We're in a spiritual battle every day. You know, somebody said, when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror as a believer, realize you're looking at your enemy. It's the flesh, and it wants to have its way. So every morning our flesh is there waiting for you and me to let our guard down. Okay, that's why we got to stay close to the Lord. We got to take our spiritual nourishment and strength in from His Word. And we'll see that as we get further in here. The Lord's going to deal with that some more. Now, in verse 4 it says, 1,000, as the Lord's telling them to get people ready for this war. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the war. So he's telling them he wants a specific number from each one of the tribes of Israel, all 12 of them, okay? So every tribe was going to be involved, and they were going to be trained here to fight together as one unit. Now there's a great lesson for the churches today in this here, because there's divine power when true believers from wherever the churches are, as long as they're walking in the truth of God's word, teaching the true gospel. There's power when that body of Christ gets together to work for the kingdom of God. Okay? We're talking about true believers sharing the true gospel, the true good news. But we're on the same team, and we have the same battle to fight. You know, we're here to tell the world the truth about Christ, and the world doesn't want to hear that message. So we can see some amazing power when the body of Christ comes together. And now these guys are going to need to work together as they get into the promised land. So the Lord is preparing them right here and giving some great training. Now in verse 5 it says, so they were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe. That's 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and Eleazar was the high priest at this point. And it says he was sent with him with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. So We have the son of the high priest involved here, and he's taken the holy articles with him and the signal trumpets as he's leading them into this battle. Now, it's kind of interesting, if you remember, Joshua has already been pointed out as the one who's going to take Moses' lead after Moses is gone. But here we've got a battle, and the Lord doesn't say Joshua is going to lead them. Instead, he says Phinehas, who isn't the high priest, he's the son of the high priest, and this is the one that God is going to use to lead them in the battle. Now, why him? It's because it's a spiritual battle, okay? Remember, the Midianite women here, they seduced the men, and they led them into worship of false gods. So this is a spiritual war that's going to take place here. So the Lord's using a spiritual leader, Phinehas, to lead the charge. It's kind of interesting. Remember, Phinehas was the one who stepped up to take action to stop the Israelite men from being seduced by that Midianite woman. And remember, he grabbed the spear, he went into the tent, and he speared right through both of them, the Israelite man and the Moabite woman, who were just rebelling against the Lord after the Lord was stopping the bad stuff going on. So Phinehas, with his zeal, the Lord is putting him in the front, giving him the honor of leading them into this battle. Now, it mentions here, too, the holy articles and the signal trumpets. This is a picture of the presence of the Lord that is going with them in the battle, because these are the holy things of the Lord. And remember something, that remember when Jesus told the disciples in the New Testament that they should continue making disciples, continue doing his work of making disciples, he said, I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you in that process. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. He's with us and he's in us when we go out to do the work of the Lord. So as we face the spiritual battles, we're not in that alone. We got the power of the Lord in us through the Spirit. The thing is, remember, we need to submit and let the Spirit lead. And he will. We listen for that still small voice, you know, we were singing about this morning, that the Spirit will lead us as we trust the Lord and use his word in battle. In verse 7, it says, they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. So the Lord mentions it pretty quickly here, and it sounds like, oh, a quick battle, done over and everything. We'll see, it was a pretty large battle when we get in a little bit further here. But it tells us that they killed all the male Midianites that were in this area, and they were the ones involved in trying to stop Israel from going into the promised land. Now, this wasn't all the Midianites everywhere. We know that because later on, they're going to have another run-in with these guys when we come to the book of Judges. So these people are not completely wiped out, although I think it would have been best had they been wiped out at this point. And this is an interesting picture of the world. You know, if we say we've defeated the world, have you defeated everything? You know, is there everything you put on the table and you've said, I'm done with all of this? You know, a lot of times we have something we think, I don't know about this one. I'm going to hold on to this one for a while. And that will come back to haunt you. That's coming up in the passage here too. Now, it says in that verse, in verse 7, that they did this just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, don't miss this. The Lord commanded Moses to fight this battle against the world. Okay, and he commands us to fight the same spiritual battle with our flesh, because our flesh is wanting to go that direction. So don't take the flesh too lightly. This is a battle, and we are commanded to do this. We'll see more as we look further here. In verse 8, it says, they killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. And it mentions some of the folks here, Evi, Rekem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. Now, one of those kings, it was his daughter that got speared by Phinehas there. So the Lord tells us he took out the leaders of that place as well. And notice how many kings there were. There were five of them. So we're talking about a lot of people in this battle, okay? Now, it mentions here that Balaam was one of them that was killed with the sword. So notice this. Balaam is the guy. He was a false prophet that was used here to tell these Midianite women that they could seduce the guys and bring trouble on Israel, and it worked. It didn't wipe out Israel, but it did cause some damage there, okay? But Balaam, we find, he was hanging around with these guys. He's still with them. So when the Israelites come in, they take him out as well, okay? So Balaam's hanging around with these guys, so he died with the bad guys. So a lesson there, be careful hanging around with the bad guys. Because when judgment comes, you don't want to be anywhere near them, okay? Really good warning from the Lord. Now, as you notice at the end of verse 8 there, it just kind of very subtly said, they also killed with a sword, when they're talking about this. What did they use for killing here? They killed them with a sword, okay? Now, think about that. What's the sword a picture of spiritually? Sword of God, okay? So take out the sword of the word and deal the death blow to the flesh. You know, that's the way we overcome this, is we've got to use the word of God and stick to the truths that God gives us. Because the enemy's deceptive. He will bring lies against us. He will try to trick us. He'll try to get us to walk into traps just like they did with the Midianite women. We've got to stick to the truth of God, regardless of what the circumstances say, regardless of what our feelings tell us. We've got to listen to the word of God and the power of God's word. Now in verse 9, it says, the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts, all their strongholds. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of man and beast. So they plundered their enemies after they were defeated. And they burned the cities. They burned any stronghold, any fort that was there. And then they ended up taking captive not only man, but also beast. And he's going to give us some numbers on that in a little bit there. But notice something interesting. They burned the cities. They completely destroyed them. So nobody else could live in them. Again, picture the world. When the Lord delivered us from the junk of the world, and the day comes where he says, if there's some junk you brought with you, some package you decided to carry with you from the world, and the Lord says, it's time to get rid of that thing. Think this one through. Don't just sell it. Don't just give it away. Destroy it. Okay? So no one else will have the chance to have their flesh led astray by that same thing. Now, somebody would say, you know, oh boy, what a waste. I mean, think about these cities. They were already built. They were already there. It's like, what a waste. You're going to level the place? Yes. Yes. Because that's a place that the enemy was using to draw people away from the Lord. And again, that's a picture of the world. And think about this. Somebody would say, well, you know, what's the big deal? They're just buildings. So, you know, if they just got the people out and killed them, then you got all these empty buildings. They're just buildings. It doesn't look like a big deal. But think about this. The flesh is still the flesh. It doesn't matter how small it is. It's all evil, no matter how small or how large, okay? And as somebody said, the smaller it is probably the more dangerous it is. Because we'll compromise and say, that's not that big a deal, you know? There was a guy who talked about getting rid of his record collection. And some of you, you know, was talking about the old LPs back in the day. Some of us older folks know what that is. But he had a lot of old records and stuff. And the day came when the Lord said, you need to get rid of that junk. And he said it's junk because of what they're singing about. You know, they're singing about adultery, fornication, drunkenness. I mean, everything that's not of the Lord is all of the world. And he said, the Lord told him, it's time for you to get rid of that. And he said, oh, man. He said, I'll have a garage sale. I'll just sell it, you know, because it's got to be $100 worth of stuff here. And some of it's old, so it's vintage. People will be excited to get this. And he said, the Lord told him, no. Destroy that stuff. Get rid of it. It drew you into the flesh and appeased your flesh. You don't want that to happen to somebody else, you know? So get rid of it. And you might say, some people think, well, that's such a waste. You don't want to do that. If it's of the world, it's of the flesh and it's evil, okay? I know we have emotional attachments to some stuff, but think about it. Do you really want to cause somebody else to stumble? Think about it. You know, even these cities, they trashed them, they destroyed them. God can rebuild anything, right? So you don't need the stuff the world has to offer. God's stuff is better. You want his stuff, okay? Come down to verse 14 then. So here they brought these people back. I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 12, right? I didn't mean to miss that. They brought the captives, the booty, the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho. So they're really close to the promised land. They're just across from Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. And there's a reason they went outside to meet him. And he's going to tell us that in a minute here. Then verse 14, but Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Moses was not a woman hater. Okay, don't get the wrong picture here. There's a reason for what he's saying. He said, look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam, so we know Balaam's the one behind that, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord, and that's where thousands of people died because of what these ladies had led them into. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. That sounds pretty stiff here, okay? Moses was angry because many of these women were the women that intentionally came against God's people, and they were involved in the very plan to seduce them and have them destroyed by their own God. Okay, that was the plan that Balaam told them. God, their God will bring a curse on them if they don't follow him and they worship these other gods. So think about this. This is a picture of us destroying the works of the flesh outwardly. So it looks like we're doing really good, but we're not dealing with the heart of the issue. Okay? So this is where we think, oh, I can handle some things in the world that used to seduce me before. I can handle those. All right? And now we think we can control it. Just like these guys said, well, wait a minute. These women are our captives. They're our captives. We're not captive to them. But you know, you think about this. Who's got the real power here? They couldn't kill the women, right? They thought, we don't want to kill a man. Some of these ladies seem like nice ladies, right? They look nice and sure, you know? So they said, we got them under control. You don't have the world under control if you can't kill it, okay? It's got you. And these women, think about this. They knew the power of seduction. They knew that. Boy, you talk about bringing the enemy right into your camp. Wow. Think about that. They had been allowed to live and hang around. And these guys, if they would have allowed this, if Moses would have said, just let it go. If he'd have just allowed that, these guys would be toast down the road. Okay? And this is a good lesson for us. We need to deal with all areas of our flesh as it relates to the world. Take no survivors. Show no mercy to the flesh, because like somebody said, it will not show any mercy to you when it's destroying you. That's why the Lord tells us, make no provision for the flesh. Now, wait a minute, he also said, take out the little boys here. What's up with that, you know? They were not a fighting age, but the day would come when they would be, okay? So they were instructed to take them out too. Now think about this. Don't overlook the little things of the world. They're dangerous too. They're going to grow. And one day, they could be the end of what you're trying to accomplish for the Lord. So the Lord warns us here spiritually. When there's a battle the Lord tells you to go into, do it exactly like he said. Don't question it. Don't rely on what you think should be done. Do it exactly the way he said. He's doing it for our own protection. We may think we can handle it. We may think it's okay. The Lord knows us. He knows the weakness of our flesh. And he knows the future. And he says you need to get rid of it completely. Even the little stuff that you think is no big deal. Now, the Lord might be bringing something to your mind that you're thinking, oh, I can handle that. You can't. Believe me, you can't. If you can't get rid of it, it's got you. Okay? That's the lesson we see here. Now, verse 18, it goes on. He says, but keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. Okay, so the Lord's judgment is very interesting when you look at this. His judgment is very strong, but it's not out of control. It's very measured. It's very exact. The Lord says, here is what you're to destroy, and here is what is still usable. Okay? So he's not going to say, just kill them all. No. He's got a specific reason why those who need to be destroyed need to be destroyed. Okay? And he's going to explain a little bit more about this. I think we'll catch why he's allowing some things to go on here. Verse 19, and as for you, he said, the soldiers here, remain outside the camp 7 days. You just come back from a battle. I'm sure you'd love to get home. He says, you stay outside the camp for 7 days. Whoever has killed any person, you better not have dead people there. Whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. So they're going to start practicing that cleansing ritual that the Lord had given them already. And it says, purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat's hair, and everything made of wood. That's going to take some work, and that's going to take some time. Now, since they had been around dead bodies, they had become ceremonially unclean and defiled, so they need to go through a time of cleansing. Okay? Look at verse 21. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and this is for the cleansing purposes, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. So fire and water is going to be used. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water, or cleansing there, and you shall wash your clothes, even what you're wearing on the outside, on the 7th day, and be clean. And afterward, you may come into the camp. So anything that can endure the fire of God's judgment, or that can endure the washing of the word, you can keep it if it can be cleansed and used for the Lord. Okay? But make sure it can endure both of those things. Okay? So the Lord, you think about this. So there are things that we've been through in our life, and some of the stuff is just evil junk and it needs to be removed. But there's other stuff that we've been through that God can use for his glory. Places we've been, people we've been around that we've learned from. You know, we've learned how the world works, how they think, what's going on, how we can better reach them. So there are some things that the Lord said can be used. Okay? Now think about that. Everything on its own is just kind of neutral, right? Depends how you use it. The internet can be used for great things, man. There's some awesome teachings of the Word of God on there. You can even read the Word of God on the internet. But it can be used for amazing evil junk, too. But the thing of itself is neutral. It depends how you use it. So the Lord is saying here to these folks, if there's something that's valuable that can be used for the Lord, it's okay, but it has to pass that test. It can't be something that, well, I think I can make it fit. No. Either it can't be used for the Lord completely or not at all. Okay? And that's the caution the Lord says. It has to be able to go through the fire, through the water. Okay? Now, somebody thought this through and they said, well, man, there's not much in my past life that can endure those things. Well, guess what? And there shouldn't be any of that stuff that comes through. There's your filter, okay? That's a safety filter. The fire of God's judgment, is this something God would judge in my life if I do this? Or is it something that will pass the test of the Word? Is it something that can be used for the Lord's glory, okay? And those are the tests. Now, I know one thing, okay, that can endure both of those tests. You're going to laugh. It's the Word of God, okay? And you're free to spend as much time in the Word of God as you want. It's perfectly okay. Okay? So if somebody say, man, if I quit all this stuff I used to do, I won't have nothing to do. You got the Word of God, man. And you know what? You'd be amazed to see what God will do when you spend time with Him and His Word. Some of that free time that you just kind of toss away. Instead say, Lord, I just want to take your word out. I want to be with you. You'd be amazed to see the Lord show up and really, really bless you. Okay, now, this time of cleansing, 7 days, okay? Like I said, you come back from battle, I don't know if you want to stay outside the camp for 7 days. That's all. That's a long, long 7 days, okay? But think about this. That time of cleansing, it'd be a time to reflect on what just happened. Kind of like a time of debriefing. think about this. God said, what he's saying to through this process is, don't enjoy what just happened. Because God doesn't enjoy judgment. It's necessary. It has to happen. But God desires that none should perish. God doesn't want this flippant attitude among his people that we just go out and kill people and we come back and we have a party or something, you know. So we need to be careful too when it comes to people being killed, either in warfare where the enemy is killed, you know, or even in the case of capital punishment. For instance, God gave us capital punishment as an option to rid a society of evil so it doesn't run rampant, you know. But when justice calls for the need of these types of death, you know, as believers, we shouldn't be into celebrating them. Because these people are created in the image of God. They're people that Jesus died for. And it's sad to think that they've been on the enemy's side and they're never going to leave that side. They've got to be dealt with, you know. But God doesn't rejoice in that. And again, we got to be careful because that evil heart of vengeance we have is like, yes, we're so happy, we're so thrilled. The Lord did not let them have a time of rejoicing here. It was a time of, you know, it was a really solemn time of, I had to be cleansed. I'd been around a place of death. Sad. So these killings may be necessary for protecting families and societies, but they're not to be celebrated. These should be sobering events. The Lord tells us very clearly he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His desire is that they would repent. Now notice something too in this story. There was time that passed between chapter 25 and this passage right here. So these people too had time to repent. But they were content being enemies of God. And as he gives us the list of every single thing that needs to be cleansed, or even in verse 20, purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven, everything made of wood. It's a reminder that we need to wash daily. We need to wash everything, you know. Be careful because, like I said, the enemy loved to slip a few things in. He'd love to bring the women of Moab into your life and cause you to slip and fall and bring a mess on yourself. Verse 25, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, count up the plunder that was taken of man and beast, you and Eleazar the priest and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the plunder into two parts. So everything that has been brought back for the plunder here is to be in two different sections. It says the two parts are between those who took part in the war, and that would be the soldiers who went out to battle, and the other part is all the congregation. So those are the two parts that are mentioned. So there's one part of this, so you split it down the middle. Half of it goes to the 12,000 soldiers, and the other half go to the people who stayed behind, and they were the support for their camp. So the Lord is going to reward both of them for being involved in this. The soldiers get a greater portion, and there's a reason for that. Verse 29, it says, and levy a tribute for the Lord and the men of war who went out to battle. One of every 500 of the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as a heave offering for the Lord. And from the children of Israel's half, you shall take one of every 50 drawn from the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. So a portion was given from the work for the work of the Lord. From what had happened here, the congregation gave the larger portion. The soldiers, they gave a smaller portion, but they were given more. And the reason for that is because they laid their very lives on the line for the Lord. So the Lord was going to reward them for that. Verse 32, the booty remaining from the plunder which the men of war had taken. Now look what was brought in. 675,000 sheep. How large a group of people are we talking that are taking care of these kind of animals? This was a huge victory, okay? 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 persons in all of women who had not known a man intimately. This was a huge battle, okay? And we get that as we read these numbers here. Verse 36, and the half, the portion for those who had gone out to war, was the number 337,500 sheep, and the large tribute of the sheep was 675. The cattle were 36,000, of which the large tribute was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the large tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the large tribute was 32 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which is the large heave offering, to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who fought, now the half belonging to the congregation, 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, 16,000 persons. From the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from man and beast and gave them to the Levites, who kept charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, again, a tedious place reading all those details, but just in case you're wondering if the Lord keeps track of what is offered to him, he does. These are amazing numbers that he keeps track of everything. Verse 48, then the officers who were over thousands of the army, the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, came near to Moses. And they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Wow. Can you imagine? Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord. But every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. These guys noticed their amazing protection. They knew it was only from the Lord. How do you go into a battle this large and not one life is lost on your side? Wow. You know? So they wanted to honor the Lord. It's so cool to see their heart. They're thinking, we didn't do this battle. This was God's battle, man. We were just there. So they wanted to honor the Lord. Think about this, you know. You wonder how many times we've experienced the amazing grace of God in our lives, and how many times we actually took the time just to praise Him, to thank Him, to honor Him. You know, a guy told me one time in his church, somebody came up to him and they said, you shouldn't be crying every time we have worship music in church. You shouldn't be so emotional. His response was, you don't know how much grace God has given me in my life. I can't help but to shed tears of joy every time I worship Him because I'm so thankful. Unfortunately, we tend to take the grace of God for granted. You know? You know, God gives us grace every day. Grace upon grace, the Bible says, it just keeps coming. Or we wouldn't even be here. But sometimes He makes it very obvious that He just poured out a tremendous amount of grace upon us. And boy, we sure better not overlook those times. Amen? Interesting thought, too. Jesus said this in the New Testament, John 18, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Wow. You know, I said another place, He said the only one that was lost was Judas, because he was lost from the beginning. He never was part of the group. He just was there to do His dirty work. But He said, of those that the Father has given me, I have lost none. Do you know how safe you are in Christ? You're not getting away. He's holding on to us. If it's dependent on us holding on to Him, we're in real trouble, man. What about those times our flesh is so weak and we go so astray from the Lord? He's holding on to us. He's not going to lose one. Praise the Lord. Great picture from this battle. Down in verse 51, so Moses and Eleazar the priests received the gold from them, all the fashion ornaments, and all the gold of the offering that they offered to the Lord from the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. That was just over 400 pounds of gold. Can you imagine? Now, if gold, and I know it goes up and down so much, but let's just say today, gold is $1,000 an ounce. Okay, I think it's more than that last I've seen, but if it's $1,000 an ounce, we're talking $6.4 million worth of gold. Okay? They brought this offering saying, thank you, Lord, for preserving every one of our lives. And let me ask you, how much is a life worth? It's worth a whole lot more than that. It's worth an eternity, right? So yeah, we owe the Lord much gratitude. Now, verse 53, the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle of meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Now you think about this. Our sin deserves judgment from God. It's just the way it is. You know, criminals got to be punished. It's the way it is. But God sent His Son to take that judgment in our place. If you've escaped the judgment of God because you received Jesus Christ, then you got a lot to be thankful for, man. We can say, thank you, Lord. For those of us who know Jesus, when we die, we're only going to meet Jesus as our Savior, not as our judge. But if you don't know Jesus, then let me tell you that God loves you very much. And He will take no pleasure in judging you if you reject His Son. And the offer for forgiveness that you get found in Jesus. But God will have to judge you because of your sin. I encourage you today, come to the cross and accept Jesus. He already paid for your sins completely, but you have to believe it's true. If you want to be forgiven and you want to be saved, you have to put your faith in Christ and trust that He died to pay for your sins. It's kind of like He wrote a check out for you for eternal life. But if you don't cash the check, it won't do you any good. And you check it by receiving Christ and putting your faith in what He did on the cross for you. Receive Jesus and your debt is canceled completely. You know, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. That means literally it's paid in full. God has all kinds of grace waiting for you. Just tell God you're a sinner and you want Jesus to be your Savior. As believers today, as we close, we're going to stop at this point. If God has brought something to mind, something that you've carried with you, some baggage from the world, He's trying to help you get free from that stuff. You think you can control it, but you can't. It has you. So the Lord says you need to get rid of it. Don't pass it on to somebody else and cause them to stumble. Get rid of it. Okay? These are great lessons from the Lord. They're powerful lessons. And as you know, they're painful lessons. Because we have some ties to things we shouldn't have ties to. We're going to ask the Lord to really open our understanding and make it clear stuff He wants to do in our life. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You right now, we just praise You, Lord, that You're in charge of this world that You created. Father, I just want to thank You for all that You're doing. Lord, You keep everything going. You keep everything running, and You allow the seasons to come on time. You just keep everything as it should be, Lord. But we know the end is coming. And You told us that the judgment is going to come one day. And Lord, if someone is here and they have not bowed their knee to Christ, I just pray You'd help them understand that Jesus is all they need. And Lord, whatever small faith it takes just to say, I need You, Jesus, that You'll begin to work in their life. Help us, Lord, not to be selfish, to hold on to our life and lose the free gift of salvation You offer. Lord, for any believer that's here and they're struggling because of some issue that You're trying to point out to them, You're trying to help them with, Lord, I pray that You give them that grace that's needed just to say, I'm letting go of this, Lord, for You. I want to be closer to You and stay far away from the world. Father, I thank You for the work You're doing in our lives. Make it so clear to us that we can't miss it, Lord. Some of us need help, Lord, just to see. And we just pray You'd help us to see clearly what You want. Thank You, Father, for the folks You brought today. I just pray You'd encourage each one. And we give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.